Welcome to the planning meeting, Tuesday 3rd of March. Any apologies?
Chair, apologies from Councillor Beattie, Councillor Bennett, Councillor Constable and Councillor De Vink.
And the order of business?
Is as printed in the agenda, Chair.
Are there any declarations of interest? These can be notified at a later stage if you wish. The minutes of the meeting of the 13th of January have been circulated. Any comments? Taken as read? Brings on to item 5. Major applications. Applications currently being assessed and other developments at pre-application consultation stage. Report by the Head of Communities.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just the regular update in terms of major applications and pre-application consultations. If there's any questions, I'll happily take them. Otherwise, it's just a report for noting.
It's the first one in there, the land adjacent to Rollion Road. I mean, this thing with the roundabout's been going on for as long as I can remember. What stage are we at with this? I mean, nobody's asking about it, but every time I come up with this report, it's the same, just basically the same as the last time, you know, the discussion's going on, but none seems to be moving on it.
Yeah, there's a number of factors. In terms of the specific applications, what the delay has been was that there was a consortium of different house builders that owned the land, and one of them went into administration a number of years ago, so the delay was resolving that issue so the other ones could move on. And we keep talking to the house builders, asking what the progress is, and keep getting reassured that we're almost there, almost there, almost there. So it is in a sort of limbo situation, but I am being told by the lead builder now that it should be sometime soon. But I know they've been saying that for some time, but that's what they keep telling me. What the other site further down the road, further down Morriswood Road, the Greenlawn Mains, the Taylor Wimpey site, which the members have been wanting to grant planning permission for, subject to a Section 75, that was literally drafted up in terms of the legal agreement, ready to be registered, but at the last minute, the house builders just wants to adjust part of that process in terms of the legal agreement. The significance of me mentioning that is because it's that development which would trigger the roundabout being constructed, because they're going to step in and build the roundabout.
Okay. Item 6, appeals and local review body decisions.
Again, Chairman, it's a report for noting. It's referencing a decision made by the local review body and a decision made by the reporter regarding a high hedge. If there's any questions, happy to take them. Otherwise, just to be noted.
No questions? Brings us on to item 7, confirmation of tree preservation orders.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a report regarding the confirmation of a tree preservation order on a tree-lined avenue which previously served as an access to Rosemay Farm off the A701 Ledburn. The local planning authority issued a tree preservation order to protect a group of trees on amenity grounds. The TPO came into effect on the 13th of November 2014 following a committee decision to issue a TPO. No comments have been received in response to the subsequent consultation and notification process. As a consequence, the TPO remains in effect. However, only remains in effect for 6 months unless it is confirmed. The process of confirming a TPO will mean that it will remain on the land in perpetuity. This report is asking for the committee to agree to the confirmation of that tree preservation order.
Nope. 7B.
Thank you, Chairman. This is another report regarding the confirmation of a tree preservation order. This time it relates to a line of trees along the eastern side of the B6414 in Dalkeith. The trees are situated on the grass verge along the northwestern roadside boundary of the former Laidlaw and Fairgreaves site in Thorny Bank. The local planning authority issued a tree preservation order to protect a group of trees on amenity grounds. This TPO was issued on the 13th of November 2014 following a committee decision. Again, in response to a consultation process, there have been no comments received. The TPO is currently in effect but only remains so for 6 months unless it is confirmed. this report is asking for the committee to agree to confirm the tree preservation order.
Okay. The pre-application consultation. Item 8, Peter.
Chairman, this report regarding a pre-application consultation regarding a proposed energy recovery centre and integrated waste recovery facilities at land at the former marshalling yards in Miller Hill. The proposal forms part of the Zero Waste project and comprises facilities to sort domestic waste and for the incineration of waste to produce heat, which can be used in nearby developments. The anticipated structure, in part, will be up to 40 metres in height, and the associated stack will exceed 65 metres. The purpose of this report is to afford members the opportunity to make comment on the proposal at this early stage of the planning process, in line with the guidance reported to committee in May and October 2014. The applicants are currently engaged in a public consultation exercise, which concludes on the 10th of March 2015. Two public meetings were held in Dander Hall Community Centre on the 5th and 7th of February. It is anticipated that a detailed plan and application will be submitted shortly after the conclusion of the consultation process. The report outlines a provisional planning consideration with regard to the adopted local plan and material considerations. However, it is worth noting that this consideration is based on the indicative information available at present. A detailed assessment of any proposal will be made once a planning application is forthcoming. It is recommended that the committee notes the provisional planning permission set out in the report. Be that any comments made by members will form part of the minute of the committee meeting, and that the expression of a provisional view does not fetter the committee in its consideration of any subsequent formal planning application.
No comment. And takes on to item 9. Application, planning permission considered at a previous meeting. Report by Head of Communities and Economy.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application for the erection of 290 dwellings on land to the south of Gorton Loam Rose Well. The proposed development consists of 290 two-storey dwellings comprising a mix of detached and semi-detached houses, of which 40 of the units will be affordable houses. It also includes a proposed business park of over 2 hectares, a new roundabout access off the Rosewell bypass, which is the A6094, 2 vehicular access points off Gorton Road, pedestrian links to Carnethy Street via the Rosewell Steading site, once that's developed, and via Lindsay Row, open space providing a kickabout area and play provision, landscaping and suds provision, and car parking provision. The houses are of a contemporary design and will comprise a mix of concrete and clay or slate roof tiles and render and brick walling with some reconstituted stone detailing. The site's allocation in part dates from before the 2003 local plan. Other parts of the site were allocated in the 2008 local plan. This means that there is a presumption in favour of mixed-use development of residential and business development, which is not outweighed by any material considerations. The development itself is well laid out, providing distinct character areas and interesting spaces in a form which reflects the existing housing in Rosewell. In addition to the consultation responses, there has been a comprehensive comments from the Community Council, 21 letters of representation, and a petition containing 24 signatures. The recommendation is to grant planning permission subject to developer contributions and planning conditions.
Ian.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask a question. This is for 290 dwelling houses. 7.10 on page 45 of the agenda refers to sites of 50 units or over, 25% should be affordable housing. Yet 3.4 on page 36 says that 42-storey terraced houses should be affordable units, which I work out at sort of between 14-16%, about 15%. Is that my reading correct, that 42-storey terraced housing would comprise that percentage and therefore fall below the requirement?
Chairman, it's because the site as a whole, different parts are allocated at different times. So the section of the site which was allocated in the 2008 local plan, the 40% applies. So you see, so that's where that comes from. But the other parts of the site, which are the more southern half of the site, was allocated much earlier, where the affordable housing requirement was much lower. So that's why the 40 and the 25% numbers don't add up if you look at the site as a whole, but they do balance out if you take the individual sections.
Okay, Brian.
Page 39, the bottom two bullet points, Roman numeral points 18 and 19 from the Community Council on the affordable housing again. Are they part ownership housing and are they spread throughout the site?
The proposal at the moment is that the 40 houses are clustered together in one part of the site, which is actually quite commonplace, not just for management, but actually for sort of the construction process of building them. So that's quite common. Actually, the terms of delivering the affordable housing is something which is secured through the developer contributors section 75 agreement, which, if the members are minded to grant permission, that's it, the detail that will follow. But there's a number of ways that can be delivered in terms of sort of transfer to a registered social landlord or building the houses, maybe selling them at discounted sales. So there's a number of mechanisms that could be used to deliver the affordable housing.
Okay, Brian. Russell?
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. It's just on page 53, on 828, it talks in terms of the development not being able to accommodate, it's at the top of page 53, that the development cannot be accommodated without increased primary and secondary education capacity. My question with regard to that is that we've just built a new Lasswade High School Centre. These houses were allocated within the local plan, and that was therefore known at the time of the building of that particular school. We have just completed, not so long ago, an extension to Rosewell Primary School from a previous developer contribution that was sitting there in the coffers. The whole idea was to replace the school completely, but pressure was on to get the school extended, and therefore we used that money. So I'm a bit puzzled to see why we're actually asking for more money for things that have already been completed with somebody else's money. Now, it's all very well and fine to say, well, we'll just take what we can get, but nevertheless, it puts an ever-existing burden on developer contributions, and I would rather much see it going to 829, which I would like to be amended to a community hub as opposed to community facility / community space, because certainly the Rosewell Development Trust are going after a community hub, and it was always envisaged. Certainly when I came on to the council in 95, when the Unity Authority first came into being, that the district council were pursuing a community hub in Rosewell. When they were going to get there, goodness only knows, but we're actually now reaching a point where I think the tip has come that now can be delivered. So I'd like that amended. But I would also like to ask on 8:30, how far does the area of, how far does the area of the Borders rail line contribution extend to? Because Rosewell, I know it's going to Harden Green, well, the back end of Harden Green, one of the stations, but Rosewell's getting a wee bitty away from that station. And while I do like to take money from anybody, I just do ask the question that what the whole idea and concept of developer contribution coming for the Borders rail line, when Scottish Government insisted that councils had to make a contribution, was along the line of the railway, i.e. Shawfair, a bit at Reghugh, if I remember correctly, Newton Grange and Gore Bridge. Now, we seem to be extending it to other areas. And again, I just ask the question, given that You could argue that, Rosewell would be, you know, would, if you were saying we could put more money in there for an extra bus service in there, I could understand that, but to actually ask for it to be for rail, I just wonder. And it then brings me on to, I mean, I've already asked in 828, but, you know, under 5.2, 5.4 and 5.5, sorry, I wanted to ask this question as well, is how long do we go back to the developers regarding St David's High School? I mean, we're taking £135 a house. Now, it might not be £135 per house isn't a lot of money, but over 300, or the best part of 300 houses, it's starting to mount up. How many times do we go back to the trough to get more money for that? Now, I'm not saying, all I'm saying, Chairman, is that if we're taking money for these things, we get less money for community benefit. And I think that, you know, there is a tipping point where, you know, education has come back and says, we want more money. Excuse me, you've already had that money. It's already paid for, it's already developed out. Now, are we actually talking in terms there of building an extension to the extension at Rosewell and an extension to Lasswade High School to accommodate these particular secondary school kids in Lasswade and the primary school kids in Rosewell? Given that the 300 houses are not going to be built in the one day and it's going to take over a period of time, I just wonder what are we looking for to get out of that? Thanks.
Peter, you understand what Councillor Imrie's looking for? Yeah. Do you want to...
Yeah, Chairman, I suppose the starting point is in terms of the developer contributions. You are talking about a negotiation with an applicant to secure funds towards the implications of a particular development. Obviously, in terms of the planning authority, we're guided by colleagues. So, for example, if we look at the education issue, then obviously if my education colleagues are advising me there is a capacity issue, then obviously we need to make sure that there is appropriate provision for people that are, obviously children that arise from this development. Saying that, I'm quite happy to go back and just to reaffirm with them to see if there is a capacity issue, but based on the consultation response we had in terms of the planning application, there obviously is going to be a need for an extension to these schools to accommodate this development. So that's the current position, but I'll happily have that reaffirmed. In terms of the borders rail, I suppose we're looking at each site, so its merits insofar as that when that's built, are these people likely to, that occupy the house, are they likely to maximise the borders railway? So that's why we're pulling sites in which maybe seem further afield, because there's no exact line. I haven't got a plan which says that the boundary is mapped out here and anyone's in, you pay. If you're out, you don't pay. It's just looking at that site, thinking, well, that's in reasonable proximity to the rail line. And of course, it's always worth remembering that from our point of view, the contribution, we may handle it, but effectively just goes straight off to Transport Scotland towards the rail line. It doesn't sit and stay with Midlothian Council. So we've got a contribution to make to the borders rail, and this is where we're getting that contribution from. In terms of the community hub, yeah, I mean, the local plan provision is requiring a development contribution towards a community facility. And I guess as the years have moved on since the local plan, there's been a firming up of the idea of the community hub building. So I can sort of emphasise and sympathise with that, because we've now granted planning permission in principle for the hub building, although we haven't got a detailed application. But happy to be guided in terms of what the priority is. From our point of view, we look to pull the money in, but then maybe leave it to our members to decide which community facility they want to support with that money.
Can I just thank the planning manager for his advice on that, and if he's prepared to go away and have a look at it, then I certainly appreciate that, and I certainly won't push the community hub as long as I like team members are going to have that input and opportunity to make that final decision of where that community aspect of developer contribution goes. So I'm quite happy to put that to the one side. The one thing I'm certainly puzzled about, and I know we've had quite a debate in the chamber here with the new Midlothian plan, and it's not for me to say, it's for another member two or three along from me to say, who has actually said, hey, oh, we just completed Lasswade High School. For goodness sake, we're not going to go back in there with the diggers and start extending that. The whole idea was to get a school that would be fit for purpose. And I'm just a little bit concerned that, you know, this was in the local plans, three local plans. It spans over, and I'm just a little bit concerned that why didn't we take that into account, knowing that these houses were going to come our way at some aspect, that we didn't plan do a future-proofing off Ladthwaite High School. And I'm just a wee bit perturbed that we're, you know, the first site that's come along in Rosewell actually means that we're going to have to build an extension to Ladthwaite. And I'm just a little bit nervous that we don't look very good as an authority, as a collective. But the public out there saying, what the hang are you up to? Why didn't you just build that in, that capacity in, at the outset if you knew these houses were coming your way? So a little bit perturbed about that, Chairman, and very nervous indeed that we don't, you know, we keep on going back, as I say, and saying, oh, well, we need more capacity. Why is the capacity not there at the moment? And I know we're going through the school thing, and we've had the debate about other secondary schools that are lying there that need that have got capacity, and yet we're not similarly allocating sites in order to feed that capacity. And I just leave it at that, Chairman. I think we're going to have to get it sorted out, though.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have to get it sorted out here. I'm not waiting until later on in approving this. My full understanding was that any housing site in the local plan was taken into account when we built Ladthwaite High School, and indeed the Scottish Government match fund pound for pound for the current size at Ladthwaite was, and that any increase in size would have to be met solely by the council for the new housing because there was developer contribution. So before we move any further with this, I would like 100% assurances that by granting consent to this or any other development, we don't suddenly have to start building extensions to brand new high schools. I asked on numerous occasions all the way through that consultation period and was given assurances by several officers that this was being taken into consideration, and therefore the new Ladthwaite High School was built, as was the new health centres in that area, with an eye on what was in the local plan. So therefore I'll be looking for 100% confirmation of that before we grant consent to this.
I'll ask Ian to answer.
Okay. Just to the last point first. What our education colleagues are saying to us is that looking at the capacities of primary and secondary, that's non-denominational, then this development will give rise to a need for that capacity to be accommodated, and therefore as a planning authority we should be looking to take developer contributions. What's not being said in the report and what's not coming forward is where that accommodation will be created. And that's the ongoing process of catchment review and an assessment as to what the most appropriate strategy is for accommodating children arising from new development. So this report takes it as far as saying there is a need to take contributions from the applicant here, from the developer, towards augmentation of capacity at primary and secondary level, non-denominational. And that's as far as this one goes. A couple of other things to add, and maybe members will come back on it. A couple of things to add, just briefly. In terms of the contribution towards the Borders rail line, then the way in which the local plan was put together, the 2008 local plan, was that the corridor, which was the A7, A68 Borders rail corridor, sites which fell within that were liable to asked for developer contribution towards Borders Rail. So that's the background to the Rosewell site and to others within that corridor. And maybe just a last comment on the denominational secondary contribution of 135 per unit. Again, arising from front funding of the Dalkeith campus, both for denominational and non-denominational, and in a sense that what's been happening, well, in fact, in reality, what's been happening is that contributions have effectively paid back the council for that front funding investment which it put into the Dalkeith campus. And therefore, there is, to answer Councillor Rooney's question, there will be a point at which you say, well, new sites coming forward, there will be no need for that. But this is a product of that 2003-2008 local plan coming forward. I hope that's of some help to members.
Yeah, no, it's not, certainly on the Ladthwaite High School question, I want a straightforward answer. Similar to the answer you just gave there on the forward funding of the Dalkeith campus, which we'd done because we knew that there were other houses coming in. That was the same with last week. We have a Hopefield development that we knew was coming forward with hundreds of houses. We had a Rosewell development coming forward with hundreds of houses. We were very, very much aware of that. And I was clearly given the message that we were taking that into account when we were building last week High School. We may have to meet the full costs ourselves, as it was clear that there would be developer contribution towards that in the future. So therefore, last week High School was built to meet that capacity. And I want that assurance before we grant this consent.
Chair, if that is something I would need to take back to education colleagues, which obviously I'm quite happy to do so, if the committee wish me to do that, and to report further, if that's the view of the committee.
Russell? I mean, I'm not one for wanting to stop development, but I have to say that until we get the educational side of it sorted out, I just don't feel comfortable about passing it, unless you take that out altogether. I mean, we've got a democracy in here that elected members could say, well, we're not putting that as part of our granting as a condition. I don't want to do that because it may be that you can come back and justify something, but I have to say, like Councillor Mulligan on the last Wade thing, that's why I raised the secondary school education, because the catchment area for Rosewell is last Wade. And the reason I raised the Rosewell question on the primary is we had that debate. I certainly had that debate going back about the extension to the Rosewell Primary was going to build in the capacity needed and required for the development out of the rest of Rosewell. Now, Chairman, I don't know what point it goes in. I accept the £135. I'd love to see the audit trail to see when that's going to stop. But anyway, that's another question for another day. But I would, you know, I do in terms of. In terms of the educational thing, we tend to sit here as elected members and accept things coming up. And you just go, yeah, yeah, right, fine, another developer contribution, tick in the box, and on it goes. And sometimes we find a year to 2 years on, we still haven't signed off the Section 75, which we all know too well to our frustration, nothing happens. And that's why I've raised it today. It's technically raised on this one, which is, I think, is a good argument because of the two schools just being one extended and one brand new. But the principle is there for all to see that we just tend to do take all the time. I mean, quite happy with infrastructure. Developers have to pay for that, fine. Community development, fine. Social housing, fine. But when it comes to education, I do think we're pushing the line out just a little bit too much. And I think, by the way, the A7, A68 corridor stretching the fact to say that it's Rosewell, but I mean that's for another day. Ian, I'm sure you and I could have a quite an interesting debate about what's the A7 corridor, how far does a corridor go? I don't think it actually stretches to Rosewell. However, you know, as I say, that's for another day. I don't know, Chairman. I'm looking for some guidance here about how we handle this, because I don't want to be in a position that we let the application go through today and we include the officers get the opportunity to negotiate out on the education front when clearly a number of us have got a big hesitation about that. I mean, on the other stuff, of the borders, rail line and the community hub, we can come, that's coming back for another day. But this one, I do think is important. Thanks, Chairman, for your forbearance.
Chair, I mean, I'm just suggesting, see how the committee feel about it. I mean, one option would be to approve in principle, or be minded to approve this application today. There is Section 75 negotiations to undertake anyway, but the officers could be instructed to come back to this committee with a report on the specifics of the education contribution and the ramifications of that prior to any further progress being made towards any issuing of a consent. In other words, the Section 75 could come back through this committee, which is perfectly reasonable.
Eric?
I'm at a loss as to how you can't tell me straightforwardly now whether we would need to build an extension to a brand new last week high school if we grant consent to this. I'm at a loss as to how we do not know that information sitting here. This is the local plan. This is something that's came up in the last couple of weeks. This has been years in the coming. Years and years in the coming. There are two sites put together. There's some of the stuff in here for way back, 15 years back, and this site, if our mind's right. Now, we knew that these were being developed. I was certainly very much aware of what was to come in that area, in the Hopefield area, and all the way through the last week, stuff made it very clear that we couldn't build a new school and then 5 years later come along and build an extension onto it. We would look absolutely incompetent, and was given assurances that Lasswade High School was being built to take the planned housing improvement numbers. So therefore, I'm surprised that we're sitting here and we can't quite clearly say that. And until such times as we can say that, then I certainly will be voting against this application until such times as I'm clear that we didn't have to come in and start building extensions to a new high school.
Adam, did you want to make comment?
Sorry about if you have to bring him in. I mean, there's 59 non-denominational pupils. I mean, where are they going to go if it's not Lasswade?
Okay, Ian, we're going to have to have a vote here. Ian.
Thank you, Chair. There is another issue which I'd like to raise before we move on within this item, and that's within 837 on page 53. It says that the following matters raised in letters of representation are not material considerations in the determination of the application. And one of those items on the following page is the effect of the development on broadband speeds and internet access and mobile phone reception. As Derek would concur, we've, in our ward, been inundated with people in the Hopefield development who found that the broadband speeds there are atrocious and are not going to improve anytime soon. I've spoken with Openreach on a number of occasions, and they've told me that they are very happy to work with developers to introduce fibre to the premises on all new developments of over 25 houses. This seems to me to be the kind of development where fibre to the premises should be installed on, for every single one of those houses being built. Openreach tell me that developers seem quite reluctant to go into negotiations. They don't seem interested in doing that. The last thing I would like to impose on my colleagues in the Midlothian West Ward is for them to be inundated with people moving into new premises to find that they've got copper to the exchange, or even just fibre to the cabinet, when they could have had fibre to the premises on 300 megabits per second. I don't know if it's possible to impose a condition on this application to ensure that happens, but we should certainly be looking towards doing that for every sizeable development within Midlothian from now on.
Chairman, my advice would be that that isn't a planning consideration. The internal mechanics of a house or the underground infrastructure involved in terms of broadband isn't a material consideration. It doesn't affect the land use issue in terms of whether the houses are acceptable in that location or the consequence of that development impacts in terms of road infrastructure, etc., etc. So although I sympathise and understand the question, I would advise that that's not a material planning consideration.
We're kind of moving beyond the scope of this to some extent, but how do we make it a material consideration? Because it's as important as the roads going in, it's as important as the gas, electric, water going into these premises. And, you know, we should be able to do something on that, and it would seem that under the current legislation or the current rules that we're operating, we can't. Is there any way we can do something as a council to introduce that kind of requirement?
That's a difficult one to answer, actually, Chairman. In terms of this site, I could certainly speak to the house builder and other house builders not involved in this application to talk to them to see what, and I'm trying to understand their issues in implementing infrastructure to deliver broadband. But I'm not sure you can just make it a planning consideration because it affects so many people. I must admit, Chairman, I maybe need to go away and think and reflect on that. Rather than sort of giving any more of an answer to it.
Right, Jim.
I certainly think it's something that we need to look at because it doesn't actually cost them that much more to put this in than it would the copper wire. So, you know, it could just be because nobody's given them the jag that they need to do that. And if we've got an opportunity to maybe to do that, then it's something we should certainly think about.
When the ground's open, convener, it should be dead easy to put in an extra pipe or two just to take services through to anything. You know? So I don't see what the big hassle would be getting broadband into these areas.
Sorry, just for information, going back to Jim's point there, BT Openreach tell me that I think the figures they gave was they charge £129 per premises at the moment, and they're happy to do it for the same cost for fibres of the premises, which is why I cannot understand why developers are not interested, because they'd be able to sell the houses much more easily if they've got fibre to the premises.
Oh. I mean, just to say that, welcome to the party, Councillor Baxter. I was dealing with that about 10 years ago up in Rosewell because there is a problem. But the point of the matter is that I know Peter, as planning manager, is struggling to think how you can make it, in land use terms, you can make it a condition. But it's, I mean, both UK government and Scottish government are talking about an information superhighway as part of an infrastructure to be spread throughout, not just the UK, not just in Scotland, but the UK. And the whole idea is to actually get it so people have got that super fast, hopefully, broadband. Now, I just think, you know, given that we're asking for infrastructure contributions about roundabouts, zebra crossings, you name it, we want it, why we can't make that a condition as part of infrastructure is something that we might have to be inventive about. But I have to agree with Councillor Baxter. You know, if it ain't going to cost any more, maybe we've got to start selling the message to developers, and if it has to be debated under Section 75, then so be it. But if we don't raise it with developers, they might not actually ever think about that and just continue to order copper into the household from the street without actually taking that into consideration. So it might be something that we could raise under the Section 75 negotiations.
Derek?
Yeah, I think Jim's question is probably really the most relevant here. I think he makes the point well that broadband nowadays is as important as having electric, as having water, as having sewage or anything. People see it as an everyday need. Now, I know it could quite easily be argued that it's it's a consumer and product and therefore isn't essential. The reality is nowadays broadband is just as essential as anything else in a household. Is it not possible for us to bring forward supplementary planning guidance, making it a requirement? We've done this with different things for roads and for various other areas where we've thought, right, well, you need to do this, and it's something that's not required under the local plan or under legislation. Surely we could be able to expand that through supplementary planning guidance and through the local plans to ask that to be a requirement.
Chair, I fully understand the points the members are making, and certainly it's something which we wrestled with to some extent, because it seems to be now something of a basic service that people would expect when they simply move into a new property. And certainly the number of concerns that have been raised more readily now by new residents of particular housing developments in the area would testify to that. I think probably, as Peter Armstrong suggested, I think it's something we need to take away. I'd like to spend some time discussing with colleagues and other authorities how they're approaching it, because it's probably good practice which we could pick up on, talk to Scottish Government about what's happening in terms of their side of things. There are issues potentially through building standards as well. So more than happy to take a lead from committee here and to come back to committee with an informed view and set of recommendations on this.
So I think the situation calls for us perhaps to continue this until the next planning meeting rather than have a vote at this stage. As far as the broadband is concerned, the problems with BT. I've had three or four meetings with BT on going to the bush, because there's lots of companies there need broadband. They won't do it. So that's where I think the major sticking point is. But we can certainly get Ian to look into that for us. Anybody want to make any final comments? That's meeting closed.